All right, go ahead and call the meeting to order of the Legislative Committee. I'll start with attendance. Supervisor Frederick. Not here yet. Is this the right one? No. Supervisor Beth. Supervisor Nordigian.
Here.
Supervisor Mauer. Supervisor Kubicki. Is here. And Supervisor Wanky is not here yet. All right, moving on, citizens' comments. I don't see any citizens. We'll move on to reports from chairperson. I have none. Moving to committee members. Any reports from committee members? Seeing east and west. Any communications?
No.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't see any.
Oh, you don't have any? Okay. Moving on to
approve the minutes from last meeting.
Yeah. So we'll wait till Supervisor Frederick gets positioned. While we're waiting, Michelle, what time did we set up? Was it 5:45 or 5:30 for the representatives?
I have them set for 5:45, I believe.
Okay, so.
The invitations say 5:30 though, so.
Okay, so we will have a few minutes.
Let me see if they've emailed.
All right, Supervisor Frederick is here. Approval of the minutes.
Minutes.
Motion by Supervisor Nordigian, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. All those in favor, starting with Youth and Governance, all those in favor?
Aye.
Two ayes, and from the committee? Eyes across. Unanimous, thank you. And now we have the presentation. So I guess we'll take a recess for a few minutes till we start seeing them pop up on the screen. Michelle, do you happen to have the meeting code? Supervisor or Representative Todd Onstead's having a difficulty getting in. You're on mute also.
I do have all of that. What email is he trying to ask me to send it to? I thought we had gotten the invitation down before this. Or do you want me to give it to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay, so I've been given a panelist password, which is capital P A N E L.
Hold on, hold on. Capital, these are all capitals or just
the first one? Just the first one, capital P.
B as in boy?
P as in panel.
Panel, gotcha, okay.
And then A N E L, so panel.
Gotcha.
Capital A. And then lowercase u g, so panel August. Panel aug, I guess. And IT said that if he logged in with his name and email, that that password should bring him into the meeting.
They have to turn it vertically.
All right, there's one. How you doing today, Representative McGuire?
I'm doing excellent. Is that Supervisor Berg?
It is. Nice to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you too. I can't see everyone in attendance, unfortunately. Hello all. It's good to see you all.
We have with you Supervisor Kubicki, Supervisor Maurer, Supervisor Frederick, Supervisor Beth, and Supervisor Nardigian. I'm probably still pronouncing it wrong. And two of our youth and governance.
All right. Well, it's great to see you all here. And Supervisor Nardigian, I understand, you know, Armenian last names aren't always pronounced perfectly by non-Armenians. I'm with you on that. So are we just waiting for my colleague at this point?
We are, and I think he's having some difficulty getting on.
Okay. I had a little struggle because the it requires you to type out not the abbreviated email of .wi.gov, but actually .wisconsin.gov. You have to spell it out.
Gotcha.
Ed, you're gonna be around on Thursday?
I'm sorry?
This is Mark Nardigian. You gonna be around Thursday, Villa DiCarlo?
I'm gonna try and swing by, but actually I do have another thing I have to be speaking at virtually that evening. So we'll see, but I'm gonna try and swing by. It's not too far from my place, so.
Work for pleasure, I know.
Hopefully I can get down there. So I take it from that you're gonna be there? Okay. Well, hopefully I'll see you.
We'll go ahead and wait a couple more minutes, see if he gets on. If not, we'll have just you spotlight.
Yeah, I can go solo. That'll be okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome.
Okay. Well, I can't see anybody, but as long as you can hear me, we're good to go.
Well, that's
good. Sorry for the confusion. I could hear you guys for the last few minutes.
Ah, gotcha. Well, welcome both State Representatives McGuire and Onstead. We thank you for being here at the Legislative Committee today and kind of give us a brief on what's going on in Madison and what maybe we can all do together.
Chip, go ahead.
Well, sounds good. Well, thank you first and foremost for having us. It's always a good experience to come down and chat with the county board, and we appreciate all the hard work you've been putting in. The first thing I want to discuss before we get into some of the critical changes that we proposed during COVID and in response to unemployment delays, is actually in response to something you recently did. I believe you passed body cameras for Kenosha County through the entire body, through your full county board. And I want to say how much we appreciate that. Making sure that body cams are available for our law enforcement has been something I've worked very hard on in the legislature. I was the co-sponsor of the bill to create a statewide standard, which was signed into law earlier this year. It was a bipartisan bill. They created statewide standards for body cameras. And on top of that, Representative Neubauer and I earlier this year had begun working on legislation to provide grant programs to local governments to help them get over those initial costs of implementing body cameras or improving the body camera systems that they already have. So we're looking at ways that the state can help local governments in implementing those, because we know it's both beneficial to officer safety as well as to transparency and accountability in government. And so I appreciate the steps that you guys have taken to make that happen. And I look forward to continuing to be a partner on that. I think that's an incredibly important issue. On to sort of the more dire emergency issues, I guess I should say. The first one is earlier this year, both Representative Onstead and I co-sponsored a Healthcare Heroes Act, which would do a couple of things, but mainly it's there to support our healthcare workers who have been certainly put under tremendous pressure and under very difficult working conditions during the pandemic. So this bill would, I guess, provide stronger protections for them. First and foremost, it would provide fully paid sick leave for those healthcare workers who do contract COVID-19 while on the job. In addition, we would provide no cost healthcare coverage for any healthcare workers who aren't currently receiving health insurance. So unfortunately, that is a reality for many healthcare workers that don't have health insurance, is that if they contract this, they wouldn't be able to or other diseases during this time, they wouldn't be able to have coverage for that. And so this bill would have provided that coverage for them. And then finally, would provide hazard pay for the many nurses, doctors, and other healthcare workers who are obviously working under just tremendous stress and tremendous duress, a very difficult time. And so it would provide them with additional pay to make up for the risks that they're putting themselves on, through, as well as the risk that they're putting their family through. And so we think that's appropriate to protect these workers, as well as make this experience perhaps a little less difficult for them. In addition, I know all of us have heard from constituents who are struggling with unemployment delays. Just last month, I came out with a bill, and I know Representative Onstead and Senator Wirch were both strong supporters of the legislative proposals relating to easing the unemployment delay. But we came out with a bill to eliminate the substantial fault provision that is currently in Wisconsin law. It's not like a really well-known part of unemployment law, but back in 2013, Wisconsin became, at the time, the second state in the country to have one on their books at that time. I believe there may have been others. But the substantial fault provision essentially requires an adjudication or an investigation by the Department of Workforce Development for cases where somebody may have been terminated. And so it requires an additional layer of investigation to see whether that person was fired or let go under substantial fault. And every state in this country that has ever had a substantial fault provision on the record, on the books, has removed it, because it causes tremendous problems in the system, and it causes additional adjudications, it causes an increase in claims denied. And right now we have a tremendous unemployment backlog, and there are certainly tremendous unemployment delays. And so this adjudication process is one of the huge reasons that we have unemployment delays. And so removing the substantial fault provision would make it so that fewer cases would go to the adjudication process. So I introduced this bill, and like I said, Representative Onstead, I believe, is a sponsor, and Senator Wirch has been supportive of generally efforts to reduce the unemployment delay. And so that's something that we've been trying to work on and get moving. Unfortunately, we have not been in session since, when was it, Todd? Was it May or late April?
I think it was as far back as April.
Okay, we haven't been in session since April, when the very initial COVID response was brought forward. At that time, we were obviously pushing some very basic things that didn't become law and didn't pass and weren't forwarded to the governor, which included additional grant funding through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, as well as at that time, protections, sick leave protections for our law enforcement, our first responders, and I believe that was removed from the legislation by legislative Republicans. And so, you know, since that time, since we were doing those very initial protections, those initial things were being put in place to help with COVID, we have yet to come back into session to assist in the rapidly changing environment that we see. And so that's certainly something that we would support, especially to help protect our healthcare workers, as well as ease unemployment delays. And I think at this point, I can certainly pass it on to Todd.
Okay, well, thanks, Tipper, Representative McGuire, and thanks, Chairman, the rest of the committee, for having us on tonight. And certainly, as Tip said, it's really unfortunate that we are not in session right now dealing with all of the different things that are COVID-related that really need to be dealt with. But that said, let's just fast forward, if we may, to the coming session starting in January. First of all, I think that there's probably the biggest mistake that Wisconsin has made in the last decade is not taking the Medicaid money. It has cost us over $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion, and it has kept tens of thousands of Wisconsinites without insurance. And accepting the Medicaid money next session would mean that we would insure over 80,000 people that are currently uninsured, and millions of dollars into a much needed revenue stream. And as we all know, and as you folks get ready to start doing your budget, we are undoubtedly going to be in a situation where we have decreasing revenue, and at the same time, of course, increasing needs as a result of the COVID. So this is something that needs to be done, and the city council actually last night took unanimous action on a referendum to place a referendum on the November ballot, recommending that we go ahead and accept the Medicaid money. And it's just really ridiculous. I think it was Missouri, another red state, that just recently accepted it. And we are in the distinct minority in terms of states that send more money to Washington than what we get back. And this is one way we can get a big pot of our money back, is to accept the Medicaid. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. It is clearly that we want some of our money back. And the other thing, one other thing that you folks have dealt with a lot, is the dark store loophole. And as we all know, unfortunately, with the economic realities that we are going to be facing with the COVID, there will undoubtedly be more bankruptcies, there will be more store closures, there will be more dark stores. And this will only mean that more of the taxes that should be really brought to bear on the companies, on the big box stores that own those properties, that tax, unless something is done, will go right onto the backs of the taxpayers. And Kenosha has already experienced several hundred dollars in increased property taxes per home. And Pleasant Prairie has certainly been also part of that. And I think that every summer, every community is going to be impacted if we don't do something on the dark stores. And one thing about the dark stores is we had enough votes just in co-sponsors between the two parties, that all that would have had to be done is just a vote to be scheduled, and the dark store loophole would have been passed. But it was not scheduled in either house, and that is something that we need to change. We need to make sure that as we go forward into these trying times that we're going to have next year, that that is addressed. Another real challenge in this coming session will be education. As we all know, there's going to be additional costs as a result of the COVID to our educational system. We know that the special education fund is still underfunded. The governor tried to do something about that in the budget, and that was stripped away. So we not only need to improve special education, but there is undoubtedly going to be COVID realities are going to cost money. There's no question about that. And also systemic racism. The things that we need to do and the things that we can do are probably not going to come free, and we need to take on the challenge that you folks recently did in terms of recognizing that racism is a real health concern. And in order to address that, it's going to be hard enough to figure out what all we need to do about it, but it certainly will come with a price tag. So we will have our work cut out for us, just like you folks do. And I just want to say that we both certainly appreciate all the work that you do on the county level. And we pay attention to what you folks are doing. And we know that you folks have been busy, and just wish you all well in your meetings tonight and your deliberations. And I'm sure that Chip and I would be pleased to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you again. Are there any questions from the committee? Supervisor Nordigian.
Ted, what was the name of the unemployment layer that you spoke about? Is it a specific name or title to that layer that we'd like to get rid of to speed things up?
Tip, I think that's for you.
I was talking while muted. It's the substantial fault provision. So if you were to just Google substantial fault, that would come up. It would be, that's the way it's known.
Thank you.
Supervisor Maurer.
Hi, representatives. This is Amy Maurer. So in regard to the unemployment with the substantial fault provision, have you had any employer input while writing that bill? And if you haven't, I would love to sit down and give you a small business perspective. I'm sure maybe Supervisor Nordegan would too, because this is one of the areas we don't have a lot of turnover, but when there is turnover, that is an area in that gets a little contentious for us, and it shouldn't be. So I would love to have input.
Of course, as I hope, and I guess Supervisor Nordegan isn't in my district, so he may not have experienced this yet, but as always, I have an open door for you, Supervisor Maurer, so I'd be happy to discuss it with both of you.
Great, thank you.
And if I may, just on that point, the legislation that was just submitted, of course, will have to be changed for the new session. And since we are not apt to take anything up between now and January, there's certainly room for some discussion on that.
Absolutely.
Okay, to continue on with the unemployment, there's a Department of Workforce Development website that I'm sure that you're aware of that lists by job title, people that are actively looking for employment and that are on the unemployment rolls. I know myself, I've contacted 40 people on that list, and I have not gotten one response. So I'm just wondering, is that noted somehow in the system? Is that, where does that go from there? Or is that just a continuing thing with employers?
So let me ask a few clarifying questions here. There's a website that's like a job search website where people present themselves as people interested in work. And then you've reached out to them through that website, or does the website just provide you with their contact information?
Yes, correct. It's the Department of Workforce Development, and these are currently people that are unemployed but skilled for positions that we have available.
But are you contacting them through the website's portal, or are you like copying pasting their email to your email and then sending them an email?
Through the portal. I mean? Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I can't speak with any certainty about that, but it sounds as though that would be something then that would be presumably at some point still within the portal. So I don't know if they keep track of that or if they post that information publicly. They've been contacted by this many employees or not, or employers or not, excuse me. But we can certainly look into that. And who was that speaking, by the way?
Amy Maurer.
Oh, okay. That was Supervisor. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if that was somebody else. Okay. I can look into that and just see what we can find out. The question that I'll be asking them is whether the portal keeps track of how many employers have reached out to specific employees or not. That is the question that you're asking, correct?
Yes. And then, you know, at what point, you know, if employers are reaching out with equivalent pay and positions, and they're not returning calls, how many, I'm not going to say strikes, but how many times does it take for them to say no before, you know, unemployment is cut off?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you're curious as to whether, so I guess that creates a series of questions. First of all, does the portal through which you're applying, do they necessarily have to be receiving unemployment to be on there? Because is that a guarantee? Is that a part of the portal's sort of information? These are people who are receiving unemployment currently, or these people who are looking for work?
Well, I think it's, I think it goes hand in hand. But yes, well, I mean,
There are time limits on how long, or traditionally there are time limits on how long people can seek unemployment. And I know, okay, all right. But, all right, here, I'm just writing this down. And let me ask this. So it's simply if they didn't respond to a query that was within the range of what they had previously been working with, or something like that. Is that correct? I just want to. So
yes, correct.
On the portal, yes. On the portal, it displays, hey, this person used to make around this amount of money doing this kind of work and has this kind of training.
Correct.
Okay. And so then if something comparable is reached out to them, they simply aren't responding to that.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I can check with DWD and then I'll get back to you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Are there any other questions?
Okay,
Supervisor Kubicki.
Good evening, Representative McGuire, Representative Onset. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. How are you doing, Ed?
We're doing great.
Good. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to meet with us virtually this evening. I really appreciate it. We appreciate it, and I think the legislative group appreciates it as well. I want to start out by thanking you for putting forth that legislation for the healthcare providers. I think that's an important step in the right direction for our people that are on the front lines during this pandemic to ensure safeguards and gratitude for what they do for all of us across the country and in our state. And I just want to say thank you for that and keep up doing the good work that you do. Thank you and good evening.
Well, good evening to you too.
Well, thank you, representatives. We appreciate you both being here. Too bad we couldn't see you, Representative Onstead, but hearing your voice is always good.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. And keep doing what you guys are doing. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, moving on to the next agenda item is, are there any other matters that may be appropriate brought before the committee? East and West. Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Nordigian. All those in favor? Youth and Governance? All right. Meeting adjourned.